1 Kings chapter number 19, if you would please. Let's notice in verses 1 through verse number 12 of 1 Kings chapter number 19. The Bible said, "And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, and that withal how he had slain all the prophets with the sword. And then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, So let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time." Now, in order to understand that verse, you look back in the preceding chapter and you'll know that the 400 prophets of Baal have been slain. And so Jezebel is now saying, "I'm going to do the same thing to you as what was done to the 400 prophets of Baal. I'm going to kill you, Elijah." Now here's what I want you to see as we read this few verses together. In chapter number 18, Elijah had a tremendous victory. In the preceding chapter, chapter 17, you find Elijah before King Ahab, and you find him there standing for God and announcing it's not going to rain till he says it's going to rain. You find a great victory in the preceding chapter, chapter 18. Elijah has been on top of Mount Carmel, and he has prayed and a 63-word prayer, and the fire of God fell, and the sacrifices were consumed, and the Spirit of God was real, and the people had a real sense of revival in that day. They saw the error of their ways. They saw the false doctrine of the prophets of Baal. And they slew the prophets of Baal. And Elijah is on cloud 9. In fact, in chapter 18, verse number 46, the Bible said, "And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah." Have you ever been there? Have you ever been in a place where you felt that God's presence and God's power was so real, and you're on top of the mountain, everything's going lovely, the bills are paid, there's nobody sick, and there's nobody that's in the hospital, and the kids are all doing great in school, and the car's all running well, and you're just on top of the mountain? How many of you always have been there? Raise your hand. The rest of you down the valley all the time. I don't know about y'all, but how many of you enjoy mountaintop experiences? Say amen. Amen. We all want to be on top of the mountain. We all want to be able to praise the Lord and glory His name and say how good God is. But the test is not on top of the mountain. The test is when you come down off the mountain. And Elijah here had come down off of the mountain. Notice in chapter 19, here is the scenario. Ahab goes back into the palace. Jezebel was not out there. She did not see what he had seen. And he walks up to his darling wife and he says, "Honey, you just won't believe what I saw today. Man alive, you just won't believe the power of God." Not Baal, but the power of Jehovah God. "I saw when the fire of God fell. I saw these sacrifices soaked with water. I saw that they were consumed. I saw that the Spirit of God was in our land." And I believe this. I believe Ahab was on the very verge of turning his life around. But that didn't make Jezebel very happy at all. For you find in that verse, when she heard these things, she began to turn the wheels in her mind and she began to say, "Wait just a second. If Jehovah God takes over, all of my prophets of Baal are going to be slain. I'm going to be defeated. I'm going to have to move out of this palace. I'm going to have to go back into a different way of life. I don't want that." And so what she says is unto the man of God, she said, "You send him word and you let him know that his days are numbered, and I'm going to do to him exactly what he's done to my prophets of Baal." Word reaches Elijah. Let's pick up reading there for a minute. And so here you find chapter 19. Verse number 2, then Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me, and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life, and he came to Beersheba, which belongeth to Judah, and left his servant there. Elijah's first mistake, he began to run. When the times of trouble come in your life, and the times of disappointment come in your life, when the times of hurt come in your life, what do? Many times when those times come, the first thing some people do is run away from the house of God. Never have quite understood that. I never have quite understood that where you're going to find the most help and where you're going to find the most people that's going to rally around you and the people that's going to pray for you is right here in the house of God. But many times when trouble comes, all of a sudden people begin to run. Can I tell you something? You'll never outrun your problems. You will never, listen, people. I hear people say this many times. Well, I'm just going to leave the church because of this or that or whatever else, and I'm going to go to another. May I tell you something? I'll tell you something that I've learned. If you leave a place because of a certain situation, all you will do is take your situation to another place. You must deal with the situation at hand. You must deal with the problem at hand. Whatever the problem is, and many times it's not on the outside. It's not somebody else. But as that old songwriter said, it's me. It's me, O Lord, standing in the need of prayer. And Elijah ran. He said, I'm getting out of Dodge. I'm getting away from here. Now wait just a second, Elijah. Look at the great victory you've had. Look at the great mountaintop experience you've had. Look at the answer to prayer you've had. Look how God has blessed you. Look how God has answered your prayer. Look what God has done in your life. And now, Elijah, you're going to pack bags up. You're going to run. You're going to say, I've had enough. I can't do this anymore. Read on. But he went, in verse number 4, a day's journey into the wilderness. And there he sat down under a juniper tree. Now that juniper tree is not a big flowering tree as we think of today. In fact, it was probably just a small scrub brush, not providing very much shelter at all. But Elijah finds this bush out there in the desert, and he crawls up underneath it, and here he's having a pity party. Here he's saying to himself, it's enough, it's enough, it's enough. I can't do this any longer. I can't teach any longer. I can't sing any longer. I can't preach any longer. I just can't do it. Throw in the towel, walk away from it. I'm done. Stick a fork in me. I've had it. And so Elijah here is under a juniper tree / bush. Notice what happens. And he requested for himself that he might die. What's he thinking? He's thinking about suicide. He's thinking about ending it all. He's asking God to kill him. How can a man from one chapter to the next chapter, from almost one day to the next day, to being on top of the mountain, how can he go from the top of a mountain experience down in the valley solo that he is asking God to kill him? How can a person go from on top of the mountain way down in the valley in such a short period of time? Well, I would venture to say that he's not unlike many of us. Many of us have great experiences with the Lord. Many of us have great answers to prayer. Many of us have sensed the presence of God in our life. Many of us have seen God's hand at work in our life. Amen? But just as soon as God begins to bless you, just as soon as God answers the prayer, guess what, friend? The enemy comes and he is trying to seek to kill and destroy. He wants to destroy your family, your life, your testimony, everything good, everything decent. He wants you to be a casualty of war. John 10:10. The thief cometh but to steal, kill, and destroy. My friend, can I tell you something? He's after your home this morning. He is after your family. Brother Bobby, he is after your grandchildren. He is after your children, Brother Brawley. He is after your home, Brother Frank. He is after everything that is decent and holy and good and right and honest. The devil, my friend, is not your friend. The devil does not love you. Only one in heaven, only one that died for you, only one that shed his blood for you, the Lord Jesus Christ, he's the only one that loves you. Don't listen to the lies of the devil. Don't you listen to him that says, hey, it's time to throw the towel in, Brother Bobby. It's time to quit. You don't see any results. You don't see any fruit. You're just doing this, spinning your wheels. You don't see anything going on. Friend, may I say to you, stand fast in the Lord, in the power of God's might. Put on the whole armor of God. Stand firm today and battle the devil. People say, look at this world. Look what it's come to. Yes, sir, it's coming to an end. Say amen right there. I just read over in Psalms, the heart of the king is in the hand of the Lord, and as the rivers of water, so he turneth it. Can I tell you something, friend, this morning? Listen, Obama doesn't run America. Can I tell you something this morning? Ahmadinejad doesn't run Iran. Can I tell you something this morning? Putin does not run Russia. Can I tell you this morning, there is a God in heaven that's not affected by the affairs of man, that he has everything under control. It's all working to his plan. And thank God, one of these days, his son's going to step out on the clouds, give a shout, the voice of the archangel's going to sound, the dead's going to rise, the living's going to be changed, and we're going to be out of here. And friend, when this world is on fire, when this world has been given over, thank God we'll be at home with Jesus. We face a real enemy. Elijah faced a real enemy. Notice what happened. To save a little bit of time, I'll tell you the story. He ran, got under a juniper tree, had a little pity party. And friend, I don't know about you, but I've had them. Don't raise your hand, because everybody ought to. Have you ever had a little pity party? Brother Rodney, don't answer me, but have you ever had a pity party? You know, it's like, nobody cares. Brother Steve, you go sing somewhere, nobody really cares. Nobody really, it's not like it used to be. It's not like me and Steve was talking yesterday. I remember a time back in the 70s. I remember a time when you'd have morning visitation on Saturday, and a horde of folks would turn out, go out, knock on doors, and tell little boys and girls about Jesus, and run an old church bus and pick them up and bring them to church, and then take them back home. And then by the time you got back home, you're sweaty, wore out, but you thank God for it. And then you turn around and ate a sandwich for lunch, and then got back to church about 5:30, 6 o'clock, and you did it over again the next week, and you said, glory to God, I'm glad that Jesus saves. But today, my friend, it's not like it used to be. Amen. Devil's on a warpath. He's out. Listen, I've never been in the military, but I've read a lot. I've studied a lot. I've watched a lot of John Wayne movies. Say amen right there. And I've learned something. If you're going to defeat the enemy, you best learn his tactics. You best learn where his weakness is. And beloved, can I tell you this morning, is that the weakest Christian, when they're on their knees before a holy and a righteous God, the devil and the demons of hell tremble at the sight of a weak Christian bowing before the throne of grace. Oh, Elijah here, he got under the juniper tree and he said, Lord, now here's something I want you to learn, if you don't get nothing else out of this. During times of physical exertion, during times of emotional exertion, I've told people before, one of the places that you will literally be wore out is sitting in a hospital room. If you've never had to sit in a hospital room with a loved one Friend, can I tell you, you will be emotionally drained, you will be spiritually drained, you will be physically drained when you sit there day after day, week after week, month after month, and you will say to the Lord God, it's just not worth it. And you begin to doubt, begin to wonder, is this thing of Christianity all what it's cut out to be? Can I tell you, is that in moments of physical exertion, you will face the enemy that wants to defeat you. He'll come at you at your weakest moment. When you're physically drained, when you're emotionally spent, the enemy will come. And he will try to whisper in your ear, hey, just give it up. It's not worth it. Look at all this other. Look at all these other people out here. They don't have the problems you don't have. They don't have the hospital bills you have. They don't have the problems you experience. They don't have the wayward kids that you have. He'll whisper in your ear. And when you listen to the voice of the enemy, you're on your road to defeat. And Elijah listened to the evil report. He believed the messenger. He said, oh no, my life is at stake. I better run. And old Elijah, listen, he figured if he just run away, he figured if he'd run from his problem, old Jezebel couldn't find him. My friend, oh, what we need to do is not run, but stand firm. Stand in the power of God's might and put on the armor of God. Face the enemy today and say, by the good grace of God, I shall not be moved. I'll not be moved. Now quickly, notice what happened to old Elijah here. God knew that he was tired, and God said to him, go ahead and go to sleep. Take your rest. And when you woke up, notice in verse number 5, he slept under the juniper tree. An angel touched him and said, arise and eat. And when he looked, there was a cake baking on the coals, a cruse of water at his head. He ate and drank, and he laid down again, physically exhausted. I mean, you could imagine, if you read the chapter previous to this, here he was, dousing all these sacrifices with water. People say, you really believe that account? The Bible said there that it hadn't rained. Where did he get all that water? That's no problem. He got it down in the sea. He's up on top of Mount Carmel, right beside the sea. So run down there, get a barrel of water, run back up top of the mountain, pour it out, go back down, get another barrel, come back up. And he was physically spent. God knew that. And God said, take your rest. I told a good friend of mine recently, I said, I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned about you. I'm concerned because you're going day and day and night and night. If you don't come apart, you will come apart. Amen? If you don't set aside a time that you can recoup and you can rest and relax, then my friend, your body will give out. And Elijah here sat down and slept. And when he woke up, the angel had prepared him a cake. You said, what kind of cake? It was, of course, it was an angel's food cake. What do you think it was? Amen. Verse 6, he had a cruse of water. Verse 7, the angel of the Lord came again the second time and touched him and said, arise and eat, because the journey is too great for thee. And so he ate and he drank. Now watch what happens. Save a little bit of time. This time around, notice his second place that he goes to, that he had no place in going. And the second place is he goes into a cave. And there he gets in this cave, and he's still in this pity party. And in verse 11, God has to remind him of who he is. God has to remind Elijah of who God is. And so God here in verse number 12, verse 11, he said, notice here, he said, I'm going to, first of all, he sent a strong wind that rent the mountains and break them into pieces. But notice in verse 11, but God was not in the wind. And then God sent a great earthquake, and the earthquake opened up, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, here come a ball of fire out of heaven, but God was not in the fire. But notice in verse number 12, in the last part of the verse, would you read that with me? And after the fire, a what? A still small voice.
God said, I could have got your attention with the earthquake, but I didn't. I could have got your attention with a ball of fire, but I didn't. I could have got your attention with a strong wind, but I didn't. But what I got your attention with was when I nestled up next to you and I whispered in your ear, it's all going to be okay. It's going to be all right. I got your attention when after you had settled down and after you had eaten and after you had rested, the still small voice of God said, peace be still. Are you there in that place this morning where you can hear the voice of the Lord? Are you like Martha, running about, cumbered with many things, trying to put everything in order, trying to dust off everything, trying to just, oh, listen, I've got so much to do. Listen, my friend, the most important thing you could ever do is the first thing in the morning when you get up out of bed, the first thing that you could do for the best part of your life is to find a time to get along with God. It's to find a quiet place. It's to find a place where you and a holy God can meet and you can fellowship and hear the voice of God. If you don't, you're going to run into troubles. Those troubles are going to overwhelm you. Isn't it amazing today we think that we can fix everything on our own? Isn't it amazing today that we think that we can solve every problem there is? Isn't it amazing today, as long as we've got a dollar or two in our pockets, we don't need God? But my friend, can I say to you, is that we need Him more now than we ever did. We need Him more in our churches. We need Him in our homes. We need Him in our lives. We dare not take a step without the leading and the direction of the Holy One. If we do, we're going to take a step in the wrong direction. Elijah learned this. For there, the Bible said, once the Lord had spoken to him in a small voice, he said in verse number 7, Elijah, I'm not done with you. He said, the journey is too great for thee. And beloved, after 42 years of trying to preach the gospel, I've learned this. The journey is too great for me. The task is too great for me. And unless I've got the help of the Holy One of Israel, unless I've got the help of the Lord, I might as well close my Bible. I might as well park her on the front bench. Because listen, without God, without His help, without His leading, nothing will ever be happening. Nothing will ever be accomplished. But I can go in the strength of the Lord. I can rise up and face the devil. I can know that there's no weapon formed against me that shall prosper. I can know that I'm more than a conqueror through Him that loved me. I have a victory in Jesus. I don't have to pray for it. I already have it. He gave it to me when He died on the cross. The victory in Christ. Can you hear that voice of the Lord today? Can you hear that voice today? You know, the one thing that startles my mind when I read chapter 19 is this. The Bible says that God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and of a sound mind. If I were to ask many of you here this morning, you are afraid of something in your life. Either you're afraid of your mom and dad passing away. You're afraid of being left alone. You're afraid that spouse may walk away. You're afraid that you walk into the doctor and hear that dreadful word, cancer. You are afraid of something this morning. May I tell you that God's not given us a spirit of fear. He's given us the power and love and a sound mind. Any spirit of fear, hear me out, any spirit of fear is not of God. It is of the enemy. But the enemy comes up, Brother Rodney, and he says, your job's not going to last. The enemy comes up and says, you're not going to be able to make it. The enemy comes up and says, your health is not going to hold down. The enemy comes up and says, your husband, your wife, your daughter, they're going to experience all kind of physical problems. And the enemy begins to whisper in your ear, and the enemy will say to you, he'll say to you, and strike fear in your heart. He'll say to you, you cannot live a Christian life. He'll say to you, it's no use in going to church. And there'll be fear and anxiety and all kind of problems, all kind of mental problems, all kind of emotional problems. Why? Because the enemy wars in the mind. And Elijah, the battle was won or lost in his mind when he believed the evil report of the messenger from Jezebel. There's where the battle was lost.
And God had to bring him back. And God had to speak to him. And God had to say in a still, small voice, "Son, I'm not done with you yet. I'm not finished with you yet. There's a better day coming. There's help on the way. There's help right around the corner. Listen to the voice of the Lord." There are many voices today that try to get your attention. There's many voices today that will try to get you distracted. But are you listening to the still, small voice of God? Do you have a quiet time? Do you have a time you can get along with God? I talk to people, many people. Listen, I'm not trying to swell my head. But I talk to people. I'm talking about folks that need help. I'm talking about preachers. I'll meet with one this week that called me up yesterday. Said, can I see you? I need to talk to you. Sure. I met with one last Saturday. And you know what I tell many of them when they begin to tell me what's going on in their lives, what's going on with their families, what's going on? I said, the key is we are in a spiritual battle. We wrestle not with flesh and blood. We don't wrestle with people. We don't wrestle with enemies from without. But we wrestle, my friends, with powers, principalities, dominions. We wrestle, my friend, with a spiritual warfare, with an enemy that you cannot see. But thank God we have the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. And though he may attack, and though he may try to defeat, and though he may plant all kind of seeds of doubt in your mind, thank God, listen to the voice of him that loved you. Listen to the still, small voice of God that says, all will be well. For the enemy will strike fear into your heart.